Beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Ted Vav Amud Aleph, the Mishnah is continuing what we saw in the beginning of the Perek, which there are certain items, whether it's a knas or a fixed payment item, that sometimes that turns out to be the hakel, and sometimes that turns out to be the hachmir. This Mishnah is addressing Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra is an individual who marries a woman, and then he claims that the woman was not a betula, that somehow she had an extramarital affair. In their day, a rusin took place a year before Nisuim. So there was a point in time when he was married to her a year before, and Nisuim only took her in as a wife a year later. During that interim period, he claims that she had some sort of illicit relationship, and that's why when he finally married her and took her into his house, but Nisuim, he didn't find Betulim. So there's Motzi Shemra. Question is if what he said was true or not true. If it's found that he is lying about what he said, then he pays 100 shekel. Now, that 100 shekel is sometimes lachel, sometimes lachmir. Ketzah. Doesn't matter whether he said these false statements about a woman of the highest stature, a daughter of the Kohen, or the most lowly daughter of Klal Yisrael. No matter what, notain me'asele, pays the 100 shekel. Nimtza, from this the Mishnah concludes, Omer b'piv, chamor min oseh maaseh, that someone who speaks with their mouth is worse off than someone who acts. Because in the previous Mishnah we saw when it comes to ones umifateh, they play 50 shekel. Over here, Motzi Shemra plays 100 shekel. So he pays twice as much, even though his damage is only done through the pet, through what he spoke. Whereas Ones Umifateh, they're punished for their actions. Shekein Matzinu. And we see the same thing with regards to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Shelo Nit Chatam Gzar Din Alevutenu B'Midbar. The Dor HaMidbar only got their final decree that they were going to remain in the Midbar and not enter Eretz Yisrael. Ala Lashon Hara. Because of Lashon Hara of the Meraglim. Shenemar. That was the 10th time, that was the final time, and on that, Hashem is gozera that they remain in the Midbar for 40 years. Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know the fact that he spoke Lashon Hara here, or Motzi Shemra, that's what's actually causing him to have to pay the 100 shekel versus the maaseh of the ones mifateh? Dilma mishum de kagarim la katala. Maybe the severity of the situation is what is causing him to have to pay more here. Because if his statement is found to be true, the woman will be put to death in this instance. So his statement has implications beyond just being Motzi Shemra. If he's found to be true, she'd be killed. So maybe that's why we fine him a larger amount, because when he's found to be false in the face of an accusation that would lead to the death of the woman, then we charge him more. If it's true what he said, then they will take out the Nara and she'll be put to death. The Pasuk's explicit. Ki otzi shemra. The reason that he has to pay is because he was Motzi Shemra. Al Shemra Shotzi. He's paying the 100 shekel because of the Shemra that he gave. The reason for the fine, the reason for the 100 shekel is on the Motzi Shemra, not related to the severity of the accusations. And therefore, we see from this that the Lashon, that which he spoke, is much more severe than what he did. The Ones Mifateh only pay 50 shekel. The Motzi Shemra is going to pay 100 shekel. How do you know that the Gzar Din of those in the Midbar came about because of this issue of Lashon Hara, because of the Miraglim? Dilma akati lo male satan. Maybe the problem was that they hadn't reached their full limit. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only punishes once a person's filled up their bag. You have to do enough wrong. He has rachamim until a certain point. Once you reach that point where it's full, then he says, that's it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take retribution on a person until he's filled up his bag, he's filled up the barrel, so therefore he's worthy of punishment. Shenamar, they quote the pasuk from Iyov, Bimlot Sipko. Sipko actually spelt in Iyov with a sin, not a samach. But meaning the same thing, Bimlot Sipko, Sapek. When he has filled up enough, then Yetzerlo Hashem will pain him. I mean, Hashem only brings the punishment once that person has reached a certain threshold. Samarish Lakish Amakra, the Pasuk says, Vayinasu Oti Ze Eser Peamim. That they tested me, Ze Eser Peamim, Azen et Chatam Gzar Din. That they tested me these 10 times, but the word Ze, Chazal are darshaning the word Ze to mean on this particular issue, this particular item, which is the Miraglim, the issue of Lashon Hara. Over this issue, that's what the Gzar Din came. Tanya Amar Blazer Ben Parta, Bor E Kama Gadol Koach Shel Lashon Hara. See how powerful Lashon Hara is. Min Alan Mi Miraglim. Uma Motzi Shem Ra Leitzim Vabadim. This is the punishment that the Miraglim got for speaking about inanimate objects. If you speak about a human being, speak about an animate object, that would be much worse. Mimai, how do you know that the reason that the Meraglim were punished is because of their Lashon Hara? Dilma Mishum, the Rav Chanina Bar Papa. Maybe they were Kofrim, and that's why they were punished, because Amar Rav Chanina Bar Papa, Davar Gadol Dibro Meglim Botosha. At that moment, the Meraglim spoke something that was against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. They were Kofer Bakol. Dichtiv, Ki Chazaku Mimenu. When they're speaking about Eretz Yisrael, and they're speaking about the inability for us to go up to Eretz Yisrael, they say because they are stronger than us. Now, the Pasuk reads, Ki Chazaku Mimenu. Al Tikra Ki Chazaku Mimenu. Don't read it like it's written in the Pasuk of Mimenu. Ela Mimenu. But from him. As if to say, that the Balabait, the owner of the area, can't take out his possessions from there. Meaning referring to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have the power or the ability to remove those that are in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what it means, that the people of the land of Israel are stronger than him, a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, the Alti Kri is a little difficult, only because there is no Kri and Ketiv over there. The word is spelled Mimenu, and then you would pronounce it Mimenu. Why would you say Mimenu? So over here, the Shita Mikubetz, it brings a couple of options about how to deal with it. The first one is, Ein Chiluk Ben Kri Alek Tiv, Elo Klomar, Alti Faresh. Do not explain it as being Mimenu, but rather, explain it as being Mimenu. That's Lashon HaRosh. The other possibility, the Shita it brings down is Bigmara Yishana Ken Ketav Al Tikrei Mimenu Ela Miyeminu. So instead of saying Mimenu, they say Miyeminu. Miyeminu means from his right hand. The right hand referring to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the strength of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's what they meant. That people of the land are stronger than Hashem's battle, Hashem's strength in battle. So that's the other possibility. Tosafot on Amud Bet also gives another possibility. Perish. Al tikra mimenu rafe, elo mimenu dagush. Don't read it as a rafe, but rather read it as dagush. Venu came. And he says, that's not the possibility. You should call mimenu betorah dagushim. Every mimenu in the Torah is written with a dagish in it. Venu michaliv, klal zebezeh. Nobody would ever mix those up or change them around. Chematzinim sifri, velo nas lecho, ein ktiv kan ela, velo nas lecho. So Tosafot in the end introduces a possibility, but then seems to favor what we brought from the first explanation of the Shita Mikubetzet and the Rosh, that the explanation is Al Tifarish. Don't explain it as Mimenu, but rather Mimeno. It has nothing to do with the writing or the way it's written in the Torah. It's a drasha of Chazal on this word. El Amar Rabba, Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, V'yamutu anashim utzi dibat aretz ra'al dibat aretz yotziu. It says that those people, the Meraglim, who brought back the slander about Eretz Yisrael, they died. Because why? Al dibat aretz. Because of what they spoke about the land. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Eser nisiyonot nisu avotenu l'Kodesh Baruch Hu. Our forefathers in the Midbar tested l'Kodesh Baruch Hu 10 times. Shnayim bayam, twice bayam suf, shnayim b'mayim, 2 about water, shnayim b'man, 2 about food, shnayim b'slav, 2 about masar meat, achat be'egel, once by the egel, v'achat b'midbar paran, and once by the spice, by the meraglim in midbar paran. Shnayim bayam, what are the 2 by the yam, this week's parsha, achat birida, v'achat be'aliyah. One on the way down, one on the way out. Biridida, when they were going to the Yam, Dichtev Amibli and Kvarim B'Mitzrayim, when they're trapped between the Mitzrim and the Yam, they say to Moshe, why'd you take us out? There are not enough graves in Mitzrayim, why do we need to die over here? Baliyah, when they came out of the Yam, Sukid Ravuna. Dam Ravuna, Yisrael Shvoto Dor Mekatnei Munahuyu. They were not such big believers in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Kidarabba Bar Mari. Dam Rabbar Mari, my Dichtev, what does it mean in the Tehillim when it says Ramru Al Yam B'Yam Suf? That they rebelled against the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Yam Suf. Ve'yoshim l'man shemo, and Hashem saved them despite that for the sake of His name. Mameich ha'yusra mamrim bo'tosha. They were rebelling at Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Yam. Mamrim, shem shanu olim mitzad ze, kach mitzrayim olim mitzad acher. Just like we're coming out on this side, the Mitzrim are surviving and they're going out of the Yam Suf on the other side. Amalo ha'kodesh Baruch Hu l'sar shoyam. Hashem says to the one who manages the Yamim for him, Palot, Otam, the Yabasha, spit them out, spit the corpses of the Mitzrim out onto the Yabasha, so that the Jews will see that that's not the case. Is there such a situation where a master gives an Eved a gift, and then he wants to retract the gift? You gave me these to eat, now you want to take them back? Said, I'll give you 1.5 times. As repayment, I'll give you 1.5 times. I'll take it back, and I'll give you plus interest. I'll give you 1.5 times what you got here. How can I come? I have no claim against you. I'm a servant, you're the master. I can come as a servant to make a claim against my master? You'll have a guarantor in Nachal Kishon. Nachal Kishon is found by the story of Barak Devorah when they defeat Sisra. There it says, Nachal Kishon Garfam, that the Nachal Kishon came out and swallowed up the troops of Sisra. So then, Miyad Maltan LeYabashai spit them out. Why do they see them? The corpses lying on the beach? Because Hashem had them spit out so that Bnei Israel could see them. Tosavot points out that over here it says, Shesh Meot Rechev, says 600 chariots by Mitzrayim. And by Sisra it says, Chameot, 900 chariots, so that's 1.5 times what would have been in Mitzrayim. The other thing Tosafot deals with is, why was it that Bnei Israel really thought that the Mitzrayim came out the other side? Tosafot believes that Bnei Israel, when they crossed over the Yam Suf, they did not cross over the Yam Suf towards Eretz Yisrael, because that would have brought them right into Eretz Yisrael, or too close to Eretz Yisrael. So he believes that Bnei Israel came out of the Yam Suf, they came out on the side that was away from Eretz Yisrael, or distancing them from Eretz Yisrael. That's the beginning of Parshat Shalach, that Hashem's not going to take them that direction, he's going to take them around. So then if the Mitzrayim actually came out on the other side, that means that the Mitzrayim were closer to Eretz Yisrael. He says, I don't understand, why would Bnei Israel think that Hashem took them out Mitzrayim, the Mitzrim, to take them over and let them out on the other side by Eretz Yisrael. So from because of that, you can see in the picture here in the Tosafot, Tosafot comes up with a different explanation that Bnei Israel actually went in a horseshoe manner through the Yam Suf. They went into the Yam Suf because the Yam Suf extended outward. It was not a straight beach line. It extended outward and they were trapped in that beach line. So what they did was they entered the water and then came out on the same side further up, further north on the Yam Suf. And therefore, when they thought that Mitzrayim was coming out on the other side, that was towards Mitzrayim. Bnei Israel stayed on the same side and never crossed over. They thought maybe the Mitzrayim were spit on the other side towards Mitzrayim. So just an interesting understanding of Kriyat Yam Suf Ayideh Tosafot. So I just wanted to mention it here. Then continuing with the 10 items that were mentioned, we said 2 by Yam. Now, Shnaim b'mayim, 2 by the water, b'mara u'b'rifidim, the 2 places they visit after they exit the Yam Suf. B'mara k'tei v'yavo u'marata, lo yachlu lishtot, they can't drink the water because it is bitter. K'tei v'yalein ha'am ha'moshe, they complained to Moshe about the water. B'rifidim, k'tei v'yachanu b'rifidim, and they camped in again, there's no water to drink. They complain, quarrel with Moshe over the fact that there's no water here. What were the 2 tests that they tested HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the man? It says on Shabbat, don't go out to collect from the man. And they still went out to collect from the man. It says you're not allowed to leave the man over. And nevertheless, they still left over the man. This is the most difficult of them. 2 by the Slav. Now, the Gersa Rabbi reads, Baslav Rishon, or Baslav Sheni. The first time they got Slav, and then the second time they got Slav. Slav Rishon, when did they get Slav the first time? Bishiv Dechem Asira Basar. This is before they got the man. Bnei Israel are recalling how good it was in Mitzrayim, and now that they have no food. Kadosh Baruch Hu after that brings them man in the morning, and Slav in the afternoon. That's a Slav Rishon. So their complaint about food, the first time, which was really answered by the man, but that was also answered by the Slav. So that complaint we're assigning to the Slav as well. Now the Slav Sheni is in Balotra the second time. If they already had Slav, why were they complaining? So Rashi says that they wanted something more. They wanted even more, or more Slav, or more meat. So Tosafot over here brings a quote from the Rabbeinu Yosef Gra, Perish of Pasuk Lam at Slav Rishon. The Slav Rishon stopped. It was there for a little bit, and then it stopped. Then, Vasuf Suva Shibigurbo, which is the puzzle they're quoting here, Hitavu Tava, they had a desire. According to Rashi, that desire is that they wanted more meat. According to Tosafot, based on this Rabbi Yosef Kra, he says that it was a desire for the meat again. They had had it, it went away, now they wanted it again. But either way, there was a complaint that they wanted more meat. Now, be'egel kidite, egel straightforward, because they worshipped the egel. Bimid barbaran kidite, which was the meraglim, l'shanura. So those are the 10 things. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishur Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, ma'idichtiv. What is it meant in the Pasuk when it says, ma'itein lecha, u'ma'yusifulach l'shon rimiya? Pasuk means, what can we give to you? What can we add to you, Lashon Rimiya, a false tongue, a tongue that speaks falsehoods? What can we answer you? How do we deal with you? So Amar Lo Kodesh Baruch Hu Lashon, Hashem says to the tongue, Kol Eivarav Shel Adam Skufim, all the limbs of a person are upright, Vata Mutal, and you're laying horizontally. Kol Eivarav Shel Adam Mibachutz are outside, they're visible from the outside, Vata Mifnim, you're inside. Blood, El Shikavti Lachashtei Chomot, I put 2 barriers in front of you, Achat Shel Etzim, one of bone, I'm assuming teeth, your lips. So what else can I do to stop you from speaking lashon hara? Rabbi Yochanan Mishul Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra kolam esepper lashon hara kilu kafar biikar. Whoever speaks lashon hara, it's as if he's denied a Kodesh Baruch Hu shenemar asher amru. These people say lil shonenu nagbir sfatenu itano miadon lano, that they say with their lishonenu nagbir, well, with our tongues we will ascend. Svatenu itanu, our lips are with us. Mi adon lanu, who's our ruler? Meaning there's a denial of a Kodesh Baruch Hu through that speech. If a person ignores the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu and speaks anyway or against the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's as if he's denying a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'll explain tomorrow, even more so, that how Lashon Hara really fits into that idea of being kofir by Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Lashon Hara is really, in some sense, usurping the power of Hashem. You are trying to put people into their place by speaking inappropriately about them. You're acting like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the fact that you usurp that power by speaking Lashon Hara is as if you're kofir by Ikar. Ramar Biyosi ben Zimra, kol mesaper Lashon Hara, nigaim bayim alav. Anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, he is afflicted with Sarat, Shinemar, because it says, Miloshnei Batseter Re'eyu, those that speak about their friends in private. Oto Atzmit, he I will cut off. Uktiv Hotam, it says, by Vayikra Perichav Hey, when you sell a house, it says, Litzmitut, that you sell it forever. When you sell a house in a Batei Arechoma, if a year passes and you're not Goelet, it's sold forever. Litzmitut. Umitargaminan, and the Targum of Tzmitut is Lechalutim. Vitnan, Ein Bein Mitzora Muskar, Mitzora Muchlat El Priya Bifrima. So we see by Mitzora, the term Muchlat is a terminology that's used by Tzorat to say that this person has been decided as having Tzorat. That's called a Muchlat. A Muskar is someone that we're waiting to see if he does have Tzorat. But the fact that the word Smitut is translated in Targum of Chalut, we associate that Chalut with the Mitzora Muchlat. Amar Yesh Lakish Ma'irichtiv, Zotie Torat Ha Mitzora. This is the Torah Mitzora. Zot tia torato shel motzi shem ra. Plays as if it's some sort of acronym. That this is the Torah Mitzora being motzi shem ra. So this is the Torah. This is what will happen to someone who's motzi shem ra. V'amresh lakish ma'idiftiv imishok ha'nachash b'lo lachash. If the snake bites without being charmed, ain't yitron lo b'lo lashon, then there's no benefit in having a charmer. I mean, if the snake's going to bite even when it's charmed, then what's the point of having a charmer around? So all the animals will come to the Nachash. There he grabs his prey and eats it. Zev toref. Zev goes after its prey. Vochel. You, what benefit do you get from eating? And he'll answer to them the same way. What's the benefit of the one who speaks Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is to no benefit of the person who's speaking it. It's only to the detriment of others. He might think that it's benefiting him, but the only thing he's doing is the detriment of others and really does not improve him in any way. So same thing with the Nachash. The way the Nachash eats, it kills its food and then just swallows it whole. Never chews it, never enjoys it.
Or doesn't eat it whatsoever. Just kills its prey and leaves.
As opposed to other animals that are carnivores that enjoy that which they capture, the snake doesn't have that benefit, just like one who speaks Lashon Hara doesn't have that benefit. He accumulates sins until it reaches the heavens. Shenemar, Shatu b'shamayim p'yam, Ulushanam talach baretz. They stuck their mouths against the heavens, meaning that they spoke against the heavens, Ulushanam talach baretz, and their tongues are down on earth. But here you see from Shamayim Daretz about the speech and the tongue. Arav chiste bar amar mar ukva, kol mesaper lashon hara, ra'oi lo stoklo be'even. Anybody who speaks lashon hara should stone him. Ktiv acha oto atzmit, we just saw before, about the Mlashnei Baseitereu Oto Atzmit, Tivotom, and it says, by Echad, Samtuba Bor Chayai, they threw me into the pit, they cut off my life by throwing me into the pit, they do Eben B, and then they threw stones on top of me. But again, the play on Samtu and Atzmit, we're saying that it's worthy of having stones thrown on him from that Pasuk in Echa. Ramar Rav Chista Amar Marukva, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ein Ani V'Hu Yecholim Ladur Ba'olam. He and I cannot coexist in the world. Shenemar, because the pasuk we quote again, Melashnei b'seter re'eyu oto atzmit. Because the continuation of that pasuk is gvayinayim urochav leivav poto lo ukal. So the continuation of the pasuk says someone who is a gvayinayim, someone who is haughty, you know, wide heart, meaning that he thinks a lot of himself, oto lo ukal, I cannot endure such a person. So tal dikra oto, that person I cannot lo ukal, I cannot endure elo ito lo ukal. He and I cannot coexist because the word is written chaser in Tehillim. It's written oto but chaser, so then we can read it as ito. So it's if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I cannot coexist with this person. Vika demati la al gasei haruach. There's some people who say that about the gasei haruach, obviously because the pasuk starts out about melashnei b'seitereyo, but then it continues with gvayinayim rochav leivav. So it could be that the lack or the inability to coexist between Hashem and these individuals is either referring to the ratio of the Pasuk, which is the speakers of Lashon Hara, or the safe of the Pasuk, those that are Gavayinayim, those that are Hori. Amar Rav Chisda Amar Ukva, Kol Mesaper Lashon Hara, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dusar Shel Geinom, Ani Alav Milamalo, Vata Alav Milamato, Nidoneinu. we're going to bring this person to justice. I'll take care of him up here. You'll take care of him down there. Shenamar, because it says, Kitzei Gibor Shinunim. The arrows of the warrior are sharp. Im Gachalei Ritamim. Like coals of the broom tree. Bein Chetz Lashon. And Chetz only refers to Lashon. Shenamar, because it says in the Pasuk Yemayahu, Chetz Shachut Lashonam. Their tongues were as sharp as arrows. Mirma Diber, they spoke deceitfully. So we're playing here, when we said Chitzei Gibor, we're talking about Lashon Hara. Ven Gibor Elo Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shenemar Hashem Ki Gibor Yitzei Zazin Shayo, Hashem will go out like a warrior. Gechalei Ritamim, Ainu Gehenom. And the coals of the broom tree are Gehenom. So it says, the Chitzei Gibor Shinunim, that the ones who speak Lashon Hara, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, will sharpen himself against them, im gachalei ritamim, along with the coals of Gehenim, along with those that are in Gehenim. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina, ma tikanto shel mesaprei lashon hara? How does one rectify speaking of lashon hara? Now this question is not, if one has spoken lashon hara, how do they rectify it, but rather, a preventative measure. How does one prevent themselves from speaking lashon hara? Im tamer chochomu yasok b'torah. If he's a tamer chochom, he should learn Torah, shenemar marped lashon eitz chayim. That a wholesome speech or tongue is a way of life. Ve'en lashon el lashon hara. Lashon is referencing lashon hara, shenemar chetz shachut lashonam. Puzzle that we quoted before from Yirmiyo. Ve'en eitz ela eitz chayim ela Torah, shenemar eitz chayim ela machazikim ba. The Torah is a marped to lashon hara. Ve'im amaretzu, Shpilato. If he's an Amaretz, he should humble himself. Shenemar, because the continuation of that pasuk of Marpei Lashon Eitz Chayim is Veselif Ba, those that perverse their language or their speech, Sheveruach, they are a broken spirit. So the broken spirit is the cure to those Mesaprei Lashon Hara. Biachab Rabbi Chanin Omer Siper Ein Lo Takana. If he spoke, there's obviously no rectification. Shekvar Karto David Beruach HaKodesh. David already said what's going to happen to that person. Yachreit Hashem, Hashem will cut off, kol siftei chalokot, all those that speak flattery, lashon midaberet gedolot, or tongues that speak haughtiness. So Hashem cuts them off. David HaMelech already said Hashem's going to cut those people off. Elamata kanto, shelo yavodi de lashon hara. Obviously the takana here means, as I mentioned before, it's a preventative measure, not a solution once one has spoken lashon hara. Im tamachal chamu yasok b'torah, imamaretzu yashpil rucho, shener resalef ba, shiver beruach. Again, tana debay Rabbi Shmuel, kol meseper lashon hara, magdil avanot, keneged shlosh averot. Person who speaks lashon hara is worse than the three cardinal sins. Avodat kochavim, gilui areyot, ushvichut damim. Ktiv ocha, it says, yerlashon medaberet gidolot. The one who speaks haughtiness. Ktiv avodat kochavim. So we see the word gedola is used both by avodah zarah as well as by speech. Yosef says to the wife of Potiphar that I will not sleep with you because how can I do such a bad thing? But he calls it a chata gedola. Again, the word gedola etzel a gilu arayot, and now we have gedola etzel speech. My sin is greater than I can carry. That's by Cain. When he's speaking about the killing of Havel, he says, I can't carry it, but that's by murder. So there, gadol again is used in that context. Gedolot ematarti. So wait a minute. Gedolot says that it's plural, but that means two. How'd you get to three? Haminayu mafka, which one am I going to leave out? It says gadolot too, you're right. But since they're all equal and they all have gadol by them, I have no reason to leave them out. It's something that we've seen earlier again in the Masechta, back on Daf Dalet or Hey, that when it's equally plausible to have an explanation be this way and that way, we take all the limudim, we don't just take one of them. The way that they learn it in Eretz Yisrael is that lashon tlitai, the speech of the third, katal tlitai, kills three. Now Rashi learns, what is lashon tlitai? Ze lashon rachil. This is the one who brings around gossip. Sheish lishit ben adam lechevero. He's always on the outside. It's a third party, always on the outside. There's the one that we're speaking about, the one who is receiving the information, and then the one who's bringing the rumors or the gossip around. So that's why it's called lashon tlitai, the speech of tlitai. Tosfot doesn't like this. They have three pieces of your speech. Your speech is your tongue, your lips, and your teeth. So it's all three of them combined to make the speech. That's what it means, lashon tlitai. It hurts or kills three. The way we have the girsa here is the misapro, the mikablo, uga umro. The one who says lashon hara, the one who accepts lashon hara, and the one who it said about the other girsot, but basically not the same way, which is it kills three parties. The party who speaks about it, the party who receives it, and the party who is being spoken about. Life and death is in the hands of the tongue. Is there a hand to the tongue? Just like a hand can kill, so too a tongue can kill. Maybe just like a hand can only kill something that's proximate to it, in proximity to it. Tongue too can only kill things that are proximate. That their tongues are like arrows, sharpened arrows. So like an arrow can extend the power of an individual 40 or 50 amot away and kill. Maybe that's the limit. Maybe it can only kill up to the length of the arrow, which is 40 or 50 amot. That it says up until the heavens and down to the earth. I mean anywhere. Lashon Hara kills everywhere. Once I know that it kills everywhere, why do I need to know that the Lashon Hara, the speech, is like an arrow? That teaches that it kills like an arrow. The Shemayim and Arsh tells how far it goes. The Chet tells us what the impact of Lashon Hara is to kill. What do I need the first puzzle for? To tell me life and death, we already know from the arrow that it kills. Person can reach life through his tongue, and he can reach death through his tongue. Hey, chidami, lishna bisho. That's how does that work? Through speaking lashon hara. Now, obviously, the positive side of Rava's statement is whoever wants life, he can do it with his tongue, as he can learn Torah. The one who wants to kill with his tongue, he can die by his tongue, meaning speaking lashon hara. Now, Rabba Amar, what's an example of lashon hara? Kigon damar ikanura beplanyo. Somebody asks him, where is there a fire now? He goes, this person has a fire. Somebody, bye, my COVID. What's he doing? Gluya milta ba'amahu. He's just telling somebody. They want to know where there's fire. He says, go over there. Ela demapik b'lishna bish. He has to say in such a manner that it's an indication of lashon hara. Damar, hecha mishtachak nura. You want to know where there's fire? Ela b'lay planya. Dika basara v'kavre. They always have a fire over there. They're always eating. They always have meat and fish and everything going on good over there. So the statement is not a statement of fact. Gilay milta, but rather a statement in fact that's couched in some sort of veiled criticism. Like, oh, those people that always have a fire, those people that are always eating. But you put it in a context where you're giving the information, but you're giving them information in such a way that it reflects negatively. Amaraba kol milta dimit amaraba api mara leitba mishum lishna bisha. Anything that is said in front of the person that you are speaking about, I mean the lashon hara, which is not said beseiter in private, but rather said in front of that individual, leitba mishum lishna bisha. There is no such thing as lashon hara with that. Amalei, what do you mean? Koshkein chutzpah v'lishna bisha. It's worse. There it's lashon hara plus you have chutzpah that you're willing to speak in front of the individual. Amalei, ana k'Rabbi Yosi severely. I hold like Rabbi Yosi. Damar Rabbi Yosi m'may lo amarti davar v'chazarti l'achurai. I never said anything that I regretted. I never had to fear from what I said, and I stood by my position. So as Rashi says, v'chazarti l'achurai, lirot mi yamod achurai. I never worried about who's standing behind me. I would say it in front of the people themselves. From that you conclude, it's not considered lashon hara. Lishna achrina. Rashi brings a second interpretation to this. I was confronted by the person that I spoke about, and I said, why did you say this? I did not retract my statement. I said, yes, I said it, and I meant what I said. So now, Amar Rabba Ravuna, komilta dimit amar bape tlata leipa mishum lishna bisha. Anything that is said in front of three people, that's not called lashon hara. My time up. What's the reason? Chavarcha chavra itlay. Your friend has a friend. V'chavar de chavrach chavra itlay. And your friend's friend has a friend. I mean that once it's said in front of three, it's going to spread and it's not an issue. Rashi claims that this is a situation in which the person himself gave over information. The person himself said some information, but he said it in front of three people. Once he said it in front of three people, he expects that the news is going to travel, and therefore you don't have to keep it private. You're not under a veil of secrecy where you're not allowed to reveal what was said to you. But the fact that he said in front of three means that he already acknowledged and understands that that's going to be spread, and other people are going to know about the information. On the other hand, Tosafot sees this as a continuation of the previous Gemara, and Tosafot on the previous Amud says, Perish, kagon ki ay gavna nedura beiproni, tika lamishma ana, delo amra mishum lishna bisha. When you have a statement that is ambiguous, it could be viewed as lashon hara, could not be viewed as lashon hara. Abam hu amar davar kantor al chaviro, kilei yom rabbi fanam it be mishum lishna bisha. So Tosfot distinguishes between two types of statements. You have a statement which is a statement of fact. That statement of fact is ambiguous. It could be that you're saying something negative, it could be something saying positive. If in that case you would have said it in front of the owners, meaning that you would have said it in front of the person himself, and it was said already in front of three people, or that's common knowledge, then over there that's not considered to be passing of information that is negative. On the other hand, if you say something that is negative, it doesn't matter if the Balim are standing there. It doesn't matter if the person you're speaking about is standing there and you don't care that you're saying in front of it. If it's something negative, then you can't say it. So this is what was known as the big het there, that something that's said in front of people is not called Lashon Hara. That's not true. It's not Lashon Hara in the sense that if an individual discloses information in front of three people, he has to expect that that means that it's public. Therefore, you're under no restriction not to disclose that information. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot reads it as in a case where you say something that is ambiguous. If you say something where it could be construed negatively or could construed positively over there, if you say it in front of the Balim, then it's okay because then it's clear that you're not saying a negative. You're saying it as a positive. If you're willing to say it in front of the Balim, then we don't worry about it. The other thing is true also. If the information is well known, I mean the Balim already disclosed this information is well known, then again there's no Lashon Hara when it's be'ape tlata, when it's in front of three people. When it's said in front of three people, it's not being said as a matter of Lashon Hara, but rather a matter of fact. And when it's said as a matter of fact, then you don't have to worry about it. But neither of them say that if you say Lashon Hara to three people, it's okay. Lashon Hara is never okay. Doesn't matter if the Balim are there, even if the person you're speaking about is there, and it doesn't matter if it's done in a public forum. Neither of those are okay, and neither of those are heter to speak Lashon Hara. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with this sugya tomorrow.